This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast 87. How do I sound? Do I sound good? I should, because I just spent $90 on a microphone. That's supposed to make me sound much better. So, hey, you know, I only get to eat one time this week, but I got plenty of reserves, so I should be all right. You got to invest in yourself and your future. So that's what I did with this microphone. What do we got? This podcast is brought to you by Slybar. Find out why Slybar was ranked one of the top 15 businesses of 2015. Check them out at facebook.com/Slybar St. Pete. They're located at 2061 Central Avenue. Go and grab a beer. Say hello to Joe. He's a good friend of mine. And also Angelo's. Angelo's Pizza. They supply our pizza at the open mics. They're located at 536 First Avenue North. And their website is stpizza.com, which is the best website name I've ever heard in my entire life. I love it so much. It's a shame that it didn't exist up until this point, until now. I can't believe they actually got that domain, because it is the best thing ever. One more thing to tell you about. We got a benefit coming up on, when is it? Saturday, June 13th. It is the Haitian Mission Par La Foy, Inc. at the First Unity Church, 460 46th Avenue. So basically what you do is you rent a parking space, and it's $30, and you have like a garage sale, essentially. And that $30 that you donate goes to the mission for the refugees in Haiti, because it's still a damn mess over there. So do that. For more information, contact Sumi Fink, 727-331-0104. I'll put that on the Facebook, the Homemade Broadcast Facebook, facebook.com/the Homemade Broadcast. Good. That's it. I'm done with the reads for the night, thankfully. We got a guest. I'm sorry you had to sit through that, James Bailey, but James Bailey is sitting next to me. How are you, my friend?
I am fantastic.
You smell fantastic. You kind of smell like marijuana.
I almost always smell like marijuana, and there's definitely a reason for that.
Is that what that is? I was wondering.
It's cannabis for men. Yeah, I almost always smell like marijuana. Hardly anybody sees me smoke, but I'm always smelling like marijuana, so it's a conundrum.
It's just a scent, though. there's no you just sweat it out. It just comes out of your pores. You haven't smoked in a decade, I heard.
At least a decade. I'm
pretty sure I might be a little stoned. I think just from smelling you.
That's my bad.
That's okay.
I got to warn people, man. I'm very pungent, high THC content odor from me at all times.
That's okay. I lit a candle, so hopefully this place doesn't explode.
You might get raided later. That's always a problem when I visit.
You didn't park on the side of the building, right?
I did not park. I mean, I was warned thoroughly and did not want to get towed for the second time in my 35 years. I've only been towed once in all my life.
Same here. One time. That was all it took for me to learn my lesson.
It was in Orlando, though. Like, I was very upset, so I peed all over their bathroom.
That's what you do, though. Yeah. I think it's expected. There's this weird dynamic that tow truck people have and the towees have. You know, it's an adversarial relationship going into it. They just know. Usually the towee is very upset, as they probably would be. But at the same time, while the towers are buttholes, they're not in the wrong necessarily either.
Well, I feel that they were, because I was from out of town. I was in Orlando. I'm from Clearwater. I tried to talk to him about it. He was unreasonable, so I urinated all over his bathroom.
Ignorance is not a defense of the law, James. You have to look around. You have to read. You have to know what's going on at all times.
You know what? I've tried it a couple times now, and it's never worked. But I feel confident that one of these times, ignorance is going to work.
You know, you would think that it shouldn't be like a defense or an excuse, but it should have some merit. I think the problem is proving that it was ignorance, and you weren't just like, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
I have millions of character witnesses that will attest to my ignorance. That's not I have people are lined up around the block to do that, so I think I'm good there.
You got some good friends, James.
Yeah, that's what we'll call them.
James Bailey is a comedian in the area, one of my favorites. Uh-huh. Gotten to know James probably more than a lot of the other people that I've had in here, and spent probably less time with you too, but I feel like we have a connection, this weird cosmic connection. It could be the scent that you exude. Maybe that's what it is.
It puts people at ease just to be around me. I'm very jovial.
You are.
A little cherubic, so I put people at ease.
James did the USF EcoFest. That was a lot of fun. It was a very interesting show.
It was very hot.
It was very warm that day. I felt really bad. I was up there just doing the intro, and I felt like I was going to melt.
I was actually surprised by how much time I did when we got done, because, you know, me and Nina carpooled, one of the other comics that's on the show, and like she was telling me how much time I did. I was like, really? Because I thought I was going to pass out from heat stroke. Like, I'm surprised I did 20 minutes without fainting, because it was so hot and I'm so chubby.
That's probably why you did so much time, though. You kind of just like blacked out and went into adrenaline mode and just went into pulling bits out of your head that you haven't done in years.
Yeah, I did do some older bits that day. I had fun, though. Tiny Nipples was there. Always good to have a guy running around
with no shirt off.
Pinky, just tiny little nipples.
I was so jealous of that guy the whole time. As a huskier gentleman, it's hard to see that.
It's not even the huskier part of it. I don't care. It's just tiny little hairless nipples. Like, I have these big, like, silver dollar fuzzy. It's the only part of my body that's fuzzy is my huge silver dollar nipples.
A piece of Giona salami just slapped right on your chest.
With fuzz, like a moldy piece.
Oh, my God.
Like, I have poor nipple structure, all in all.
I feel you, brother. I'm with you. I'm not proud of my nipples, but...
I've been waiting to say poor nipple structure for weeks. I love that. Just poor nipple structure just has such a good ring to it.
It does. It does. You finally got your opportunity. I'm happy you got to do it on this program, The Homemade Broadcast, which I forgot to mention that my name is Will Koontz, and I'm host of this program, and you're listening, of course, to Radio St. Pete and RadioSt.Pete.com. Nice going, Will.
And I'm trying not to curse.
That's good, man. I know it's hard to do. I've gotten so used to just being in front. Like, when I have this arm, if I have a microphone, I'm okay with cursing. But if I see the what do you call these, scissor arms? The mic stands?
Boom mic
scissor arms?
I don't know.
I know that I cannot curse. Which, earlier episodes, I'm trying to, because I'm coming up on my 100th episode here.
Yeah, congratulations.
And, yeah, this year. So I need to put together a worst of that I can play for the 100th episode.
I think some of this will make it, probably.
Probably, yeah.
I've got you contact with my cologne.
Yes, so I'm pretty sure this will probably be on the worst of. But I had to think...
This is only my third podcast that I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah, I did Something Planet a few months back with John J. Murray, and then mm-hmm. I did The Frightened Ear with Dave Weingarten, and now I'm doing the Homemade Podcast with...
Homemade Broadcast.
Broadcast.
This is more than just a podcast, as
I
call
it. It is. The studio that we're in is very lavish. They can't see this, but there's foam on the walls.
I know.
I'm sitting in like a throne.
It is, yeah.
He has a small Filipino child massaging my shoulders. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely serves its purpose. But yeah, I actually had some good news about the studios that are being built.
Ooh.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I guess I can't say anything. I don't know. Like,
you kind of just did.
I mean, I did, but I didn't really get into it.
It's a teaser.
I just heard some things.
You fluffed them.
That I'm excited about. Yes, exactly.
You didn't go all the way, but you fluffed them.
Fluffed them with knowledge, definitely.
So,
yeah, I got this brand new microphone, and I can hear the difference, man. In my headphones, it sounds much better.
That's because you have the nice headphones. You have, like, the Beats by Dre, and I have the Beats by Shay. which is just a Walmart knockoff.
They're worse. They are eBay knockoff that came direct from China. They had, when they came to my house, they had Chinese letters.
So I have Beats by Bay.
Yes.
Which can be taken so many awful ways.
Yes, absolutely. They're really bad. Those are the ones I was using. There's these ones, the Centuries that I bought from Big Lots. But they make your ears sweat so bad. They sound a little better, but they're not worth it.
You know, that's actually one of my superpowers, is that my extremities can be both be cold and sweating at the same time.
Really?
Like, my feet can be absolutely freezing cold and still just wet with sweat. Like, I can't touch them together because it feels weird. It's like I'm swimming, but yet they're just tingly cold. It's my superpower.
That is the worst superpower I think I've ever heard in my life, James.
Definitely. Definitely. Even I would rather have Cypher's superpower of just, I'm good with languages. I would rather have that than sweaty cold feet.
Yes. James Bailey, obviously, is a comedian. James, you did the USF show. You talked about that. So when did you start doing the comedy thing? Because you're 35, right?
35.
You're on your way. You look very young, though. I would say you look about 28, if I were to guess.
I'm not going to bang you so you can stop hitting on me, but thank
Damn
you.
Damn it.
Appreciate. I'll take any confidence boost I can get right now. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'll bang you. I don't want to say never.
Yes.
Never say never.
That's true. You don't want to miss out on things.
September will actually be 4 years for me, so not that long, but I had a huge advantage, two huge advantages in that. One, I'm a second generation. My father was one of the original outlaws of comedy with Bill Hicks, Sam Kennison, Carl LeBeouf, Carl Falkenberg.
Really?
Yeah, James Vernon. He was with them way back in the 80s when he started, because he started out of Houston. And then when he passed is when I started doing comedy, and a bunch of people like Johnny Oz and Bull O.C. and Steve Baird, you know, rest in peace. A lot of guys who had been doing it for 15, 20, 30 years who knew my father kind of took me under their wing and, you know, gave me pointers, not even so much on my writing, but just on stuff that most people don't learn until they're 5 years in, you know, stage presence, inflection, how to grab a crowd, how to steer them, you know. So I got a bit of an advantage, and I'm probably a bit ahead of the curve for 4 years, less than 4 years. But, you know, again, I cheated, and I had help from pros. So
yeah. So how did you do? And I feel like probably since you were a little older, I'm just going to guess here that your story is probably not as horrific as many other people's, where they've bombed awfully, but they were like 17 or something like that.
No, I mean, I've definitely eaten some male genitalia. huge bags of it, elephant's genitalia just flying at me more than once. One of my favorites, I was probably about 6-8 months in, and I was doing a contest in Punta Gorda, and there was three stages of the, you did 5 to 7 minutes up front, and then everybody did 2 minutes of improv, and then three people got picked for the final round. And the night before, I looked at video that I had of sets that I had done, probably like 30 minutes of material I had done, where it was all jokes that worked really well. So I took like, you know, 5 minutes of my best stuff, went out there. First joke I did, they didn't like me. And after that, it was just 5 minutes of crickets.
Oh, no. This is what I've learned, too, in my limited knowledge, that if you don't get them right away, you're sunk. It's really hard to win them back at that point.
If you lose them right away, especially when you only have 5 minutes. But I fought, and I never got them back. But Johnny Bell was one of the judges, and they told him to do like the whole Simon Cowell thing, like be kind of mean. And what did he said? I got up to go to the bathroom in your set. Didn't hear any laughter when I was in there, so I guess I didn't miss anything, and I picked a good time to go. Johnny Bell, like the things that he said to me, he should have been charged. Like it was brutal, but it made me a better comic. And I've since worked for Johnny, and he's paid me to, you know, to open for him. So
this is Johnny Bell is Johnny B, correct?
Okay,
so the guy that's on the bone.
Yeah, Johnny B on the bone, Johnny Bell on the bone. Yeah. And the Down and Dirty shows. I've done shows with him, and he's actually paid me to open. So after he just verbally
entered me without my permission. he, you know, I got better and he made up for it. So we're buddies now. He paid me, so we're friends.
Yeah, that's all it takes, really. Jeez, at this point. Yeah, Johnny's a good guy. I kind of was... I think the first interaction I had with Johnny was at the... I went to... Do you remember the Bone had a Tampa Bay's Got Talent thing that... I think that's how Johnny has his job now with the Bone. But basically what it was a American Idol-ish competition.
Yeah.
So people would come out and you would... It was Mike Calta, Drew Garabo, a couple other guys, people. I don't know who they were. But so they judged. You would go out on the stage and talk to them for, I think, 3 minutes it was. And basically you'd explain why. Because the award for winning was a six-month contract with the Bone. So you get a radio show.
Yeah.
And Johnny did it. I don't think he won that, though. But that was the first time I've ever seen him. But I just remember how awful that event was. It was me and my best friend at the time. We went and we were going to do it as a team. Mm-hmm. So we went out and got hammered the night before.
That's a good start.
Yeah. And we didn't really intend to. We were just very excited. I felt like fate was on our side and we were going to totally win this thing for some reason. So we went and, had one too many beers, I guess. Woke up late, rushed down there, tried to get in line for it, ended up in the wrong line, so they had to merge. We were in front of the wrong line, so we had to go to the real line, and we were all the way in the back.
Oof.
So it was a rough day. We actually went and sat in the car for a little while and just tried to take a nap. And we finally... It was like the end. They were like, all right, we're done. Like, we can't do this anymore, but they were trying to rush. There were some people that waited all day.
Yeah.
And the guy in front of us, I remember, was saying that he wasn't sure if he'd be able to take this job or not if he got it, because he's got a lucrative drywall hanging job that he's doing well at. And I was focused, you know, I was getting ready, and I just couldn't. But I heard that, and it snapped me out of my focus, because that was just such an absurd statement. Yeah. And it just bugged me. And then he went out there, and it was funny how everybody just went, so what are we talking about today? What's going on here? It's like, I don't know. What is going on here? And there was so much of that. And it would have been the perfect target for a carpet bombing. That would have got rid of a lot of humanity that I wouldn't have missed. It was ridiculous. But I think Johnny ended up getting his job. The moral of that story is that Johnny got his job from that competition. And I got to go do his radio show when I was doing the Creative Loafing event. And that was really fun.
I haven't done his show. I think it'd be fun, though.
I would think... I know he's tight with the Cigar City people. And I would think he would have a comic in there all the time. That's what I want to do. If I ever get, like, a...
Well, he has a lot of them call in. And I know he has a co-host and stuff. I'm usually not up that late near a radio. Because I'm just a sissy. But I'm actually doing some stuff with the Cigar City guys here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, tell me about that.
On the 21st, it'll be me, Law Smith, Joe Riga, John J. Murray, Jared Walker, David Weingartner, and Michael Murillo. Michael, don't call him Mike Murillo.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, don't call him
Maybe
Mike.
That's why he doesn't like me.
It's probably. It has a lot to do with it. But it's at, what did I say, Wicked Witches in Tampa. It's like 7:30.
Wicked Witches is in Tampa.
It might be in Tampa. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to give the wrong address out, but if it's the places, Wicked Witches and Brew, right?
Yes.
That's at 223 South Howard Avenue in Tampa. I'll also post that on the Facebook when the event gets closer.
Yeah, and if you somebody wants to be my Facebook friend, they can find me at Comedian James Bailey, and then I always post stuff up like that, too. Like that one, and probably I see a lot of Cigar City guys at Dunning and Brewery on Monday nights for their open mic, which you should come down to, man. It's a really good mic.
Yeah, I've been down there. The last time I did an open mic, actually performed, I ate it really bad there. And it's like scared me to the, like, I don't know if I want to do it anymore, because it's been, I will, but also I feel like I'm running, you know, my mics and everything, and doing this program, it kind of just, I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of afraid to do it. I feel like I have something to like keep up, you know? And I know I don't. It's just all in my head.
See, like I'm the exact opposite way. Like I put together my first show back in April where like I booked it, I promoted it and everything. We got a good turnout. And I wasn't really happy with my set. Like everybody told me like I did good, but a lot of the people there had seen me at one point or another. So like they had seen some of the jokes, like they only laughed at some. And it was just a weird set for me. And but the club owner and the booker were both like, oh, you know, we should do another one. You had a really good crowd, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, you know, no, I want to just show up places and tell jokes. I don't want to like all the stuff that you do with like the booking the shows and the mics. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would try it once, get frustrated, and I would never like I can't do all that. Like I can show up and I can talk about my penis for 5 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, and then I go home.
It is frustrating, man. It's really hard. JB came in here and I was talking about how much I loved comedians and I liked hanging out with them and I felt like they were real honest people. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I don't get that vibe at all. And now that I'm more into the game, I don't know what else to call it. I can definitely kind of see the frustration there.
It's horrible. Comics are horrible people.
they really are. They're not awful. They're great. I love their honesty and their earnestness.
Yeah.
But also they are some of the laziest people I think that I've ever met in my life.
We are like, I mean, I spend a lot of time like writing and stuff, but there's been times where I haven't gone to a mic or I haven't gotten on stage for longer than I should have just because I was like, you know what? I just got the internet. I'm going to smoke pot and play Call of Duty instead of working on my pet, you know, like we're horrible.
I think pots, we were talking about it off air, but when you first walked in here, I haven't smoked pot in many years and I don't think it's good for comedians.
It depends. Doug Benson's doing very well with it.
That's true.
Cheech and Chong did pretty good with it.
Fair enough.
Various That's other true. Comics. Not that, you know, I'm on a Cheech and Chong level or anything, or Doug Benson even. I don't smoke before a set though. Like, but I do come up with some pretty interesting ideas when I smoke, and sometimes they're just garbage, but I've worked out some bits where, like, yeah, I had to sit there and tweak it, but I came up with the initial premise just blazed out of my mind.
Yeah, okay, so I guess maybe, because my buddy used to do it, too. I don't think he's done it in years now, but he never went on stage not drunk or stoned, and I was like, dude, you can't do that, man. You have to feel the weight of the world, you know, every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
I prefer not to. I prefer to just be stoned and just pretend like the world will be okay.
Well, of course.
I mean, it won't be.
In a perfect world, certainly. But it's not conducive to your creativity. You have to feel these things. Otherwise,
yeah.
You know, do you find, I find that most of things that I find funny are negative, generally. What's your take on that?
I try not to be real negative in my humor, just because in general I'm not a real negative person. I do find it funny. Like I can laugh at the people like Lewis Black, you know, who's just always so angry and screaming, or Brent Morin, you know, people like that. But for me, I'd rather laugh at the absurdity in life and just silly things like stupid situations, like things that people say where you're just like, really, come on, man, catch up.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean, though, like hypocrisies. I guess that's what I mean by negative. You can kind of flip that around and turn that negative into something positive by making fun of it.
Yeah, I try to make fun of everything. I don't but it's just, I don't know, I try to, like, just like I said, in my day-to-day life, I try to always be really positive, so I try to keep my comedy going in that way, too. You know, because for a long time, I had a real bad problem with drugs and alcohol. And, like, a lot of my life was just negative and angry. I was writing with a buddy of mine, Kyle Roos.
Oh, I love Kyle. Yeah, yeah. Kyle's awesome.
We used to get together all the time because I lived around the corner from him. And we'd have writing sessions. And one day, he's like, I told him this new joke I had. And basically, it was about rape role play, like mm-hmm. how girls want to do it, and like how I was worried that I'd panic, get too into it, and then like actually like like be murdered, like, oh my God, I'm raping her, you know, she's going to recognize me, and the next thing you know, like I'm choking her out because I don't want to go to jail for rape, so it's like, shit, now I'm a rapist and a murderer.
Yeah.
And like I'm getting this premise out, and Kyle just looks at me, he's like, dude, what the hell have you been going through lately?
Where'd you go? Yeah, you went down the rabbit hole.
He's like, yeah, dude, come out of it, you're getting a little dark, and Over the last year or so, I've definitely, it's changed a bit, and that's why I'm starting to book more gigs with different groups of people now in different places, because I've definitely lightened up, and I think it's gotten better, for at least for me personally, just because, you know, I look like a big kid. Like, yeah. I'm 35, but I don't look 35. Right. So for me to get up there and start screaming and yelling, it's like, why is this giant toddler so upset?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have to go more happier just based on my overall appearance.
You are a sweet boy, is what I would call you. You got a gentle heart. And you know what it probably is because you don't drink either, right?
I don't. I've been sober I've been alcohol-free for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm. And what made the change? What made you stop drinking?
I did a show in Hudson or Brooksville or somewhere out in there in the boonies where they don't like brown people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rather brown, as you can see. And I went out there and they introduced me, like, what did he say? It's James Bailey. We don't know if he's white. We don't know if he's black, but he's something. And like, I went up there and the first thing was like, all right, guys, how we doing tonight? And some old lady just screams, fudge you, except she didn't say, you know, fudge. Oh, and I was just like, oh, this is a good start. And it was a rough set, and they gave me a bar tab, so I proceeded to just take full advantage of a free bar tab.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember much, but what I remember is I almost got in a fist fight with the owner's son's best friend, some random person, the lady who owned the bar. I said, fudge you and your fudging bar, except, you know, again, not fudging. And then I had sex with a girl in the parking lot in the dirt next to her car.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome when you're 22. did that when I was 34. Didn't.
Not as awesome anymore.
No, they woke up the next day. I was like, why does my back hurt and my knees feel like I've been sliding downhill all day?
What, did she take you missionary? Where did your back hurt?
My back just hurt because I'm old and I was in the dirt and it's hard angles. I, you know, laid down my jacket to be a gentleman for her, but I'm trying to angle so I'm not, you know, it was rocks, man. It was rocks. We're in the dirt, bro. Like, this is no joke. Like,
so this is why you have your child?
Yeah.
I hope not. No. That'd be terrific, though. That would bring me a lot of happiness if that was true, but
no,
I hope not.
My child was conceived. I'm not sure if I was on drugs at that evening. It was shower sex. It was shower sex.
Nice. The elusive shower sex. Yeah.
I was yelling at my ex to get off of me, and she was just going to Funky Town, and I'm like, you need to get up. You need to get up. You need to... Oh,
no.
Yeah. And apparently taking this removable shower head and trying to spray out her vagina doesn't work. Doesn't.
Oh,
I was
no.
18, man. What do you want? I was panicking. I was like, we got to get that out of there.
Oh, wow. You were 18?
I was 18 when she was conceived, 19 when she was born.
Oh, my gosh. That is frightening to me. I can't imagine having a kid at 30 years old right now. I don't know what I would do. The good thing about me is I don't get laid, so I don't have to worry about it. So, you know, it's cool that I don't use condoms because it's not happening anyways. So, yeah, that's right.
I used to get laid a lot. And it's terrifying because I had two different girls in a week tell me they were late.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm not real bright. So both times the girl was like, hey, I'm late. And I was like, no, you're not. We have plenty of time.
Were we supposed to hang out today?
No, like it was both times, coincidentally enough, they were picking me up to take me somewhere. So they were both like, hey, I'm late. And I'm like, hey, we got plenty of time. And it was like, no, dude, I'm late. No, you got here. We're fine. We have 40 minutes. No, dumbass, I'm late. Oh, God, my life's over. So, but it was both just scares. Just scares.
That's good. But one snuck through when you were 18 years old.
Yeah.
James Bailey's sitting right next to me right now. He's a comedian who has a baby, and he conceived it when he was 18.
Now.
That's crazy, man. That's like a person now.
She is. She's a horrible person, too.
You don't like her?
I love her, but no, I don't always like her.
Yeah, those are like and love are two separate things.
She's like a vegetarian, crunchy, like new age, liberal, super sensitive, too PC about everything.
Oh, no. Oh, and being a comedian, I'm sure she just hates you then.
Oh, her biggest fear in life is that I have a bunch of material. I probably have like 15 minutes of just talking trash about my kid. But in a lot of it, she comes out looking smarter than me, because in a lot of life that she comes out looking smarter than me.
Yeah.
It's horrible. She doesn't smoke as much pot as me, though, so she has an advantage. but her biggest fear in life is that I'm going to be doing a show. I'm going to mention her by name, and one of her friend's parents will be in the audience, recognize the name. Me and my daughter looks similar. Like, you can definitely tell she's my kid. So, like, they're going to walk up to me and be like, oh, is your daughter Emily at such and such school? And I'm going to say yes. And they're going to go home and tell their kid the jokes about her. And then it's going to spread around the school. But she's told, like, half of her friends that I'm a comic. Like, half of her friends like, I want to meet your dad. And she's like, no. Because it will get embarrassing.
Yeah. If I did ever have kids, that's one thing I would look forward to, would be to embarrass the hell out of them at all times. Yeah, it's got to be the best.
It's what I take her. She volunteers at a veterinary clinic. And, there I am. She volunteers at a veterinary clinic. And whenever I take her to drop her off, I roll down the passenger window, and as she's opening the door to the clinic as loud as I can, I'm just like, Daddy loves you! Your daddy loves you! Do you love Daddy? And she's like, I can see all the people that work with her just giggling. And,
oh, no.
Oh, she hates me so much. It's so fair.
That's the age, too, when you hate everything. Oh. Everything embarrasses you. 14 to 16, 17,
for
I would say.
Girls. Yeah. I was a dude. I didn't care.
My mom, I was embarrassed. I hated everything.
My mom smoked pot with me, so I was like, whatever. Say what you want. I'm too high to care.
I'm not going to say.
I don't smoke pot with my kid.
No, that's not what I was going to say. I almost said, do you regret having a kid? But I kind of caught myself.
No, it's. I regret having a kid as young as I did. If I could have my kid the way she is now, if I could have just moved it back like 5 years, I would have loved to have done that.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, where I was at in my life at 18 years old, if I wouldn't have had a kid, I would probably be either dead or in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, those were the two paths I was headed on. I was just so wild and crazy. So she definitely, I mean, and even with her for the first couple of years, I wasn't, like, I didn't go out and party with her, but, like, when I didn't have her, I'd still go out and do dumb shit, and it took years to, like, slow me down, and if she hadn't have been there, I might not have ever slowed down, and OD or prison is definitely where I would have ended up.
Mm-hmm. That's scary, man.
I love the drugs. I do.
Are you still a fan of the drugs, or are you just kind of a pot guy now?
I'm just a pot guy, man. I'm too old. Like, you know, what's it look like 35 years old in a club doing ecstasy, or they don't even call it. It's not even ecstasy anymore. It's Molly now.
Yeah.
Like, I would feel weird buying drugs because they're all being sold by like 20 somethings.
I had a guy offer me pot at a bar down here, and he looked very. I was like, "How old are you, man?" And he was like, honestly, and I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm 19. I'm like, go home. Yeah. What is the matter with you? Why are you hanging out in some bar that's I'm only in, so you're not making any money? Just go home, or go on campus and sell pot. Yeah. There's a bunch of kids there who want to buy pot.
Go back to school, man. Yeah,
he said he was in school, because I actually had a conversation. I was like, I'm going to try to mentor this young man, and I was a little intoxicated, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a great time to be a mentor.
Yes, I have a lot of wisdom.
Your one-bedroom apartment. I'm just
at
kidding.
30 years old. No, I hear you, man.
I'm in the very lavish studio.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yes.
No, I actually live with a buddy of mine where if I didn't live with him and he didn't have a good job, I'd probably be homeless because I haven't worked in so long.
I was thinking about this the other day, how proud of myself I am, because I am totally self-sufficient. I live in a place by myself. I have a car. I have a job, a steady job. And that makes you feel good.
I used to have all that, and then it went away.
Oh, no.
And, like, I kept, like, I don't know. I'm in a transitional period. I actually have, I'm waiting right now for a callback from an old job. Like, I've already, like, got my resume in, and I know that I'm in line to be interviewed, so I'm just waiting on that call, and I'll start back there, but.
Can't wait on the call, man. You got a call.
But I don't like working.
I know.
I like doing comedy. I like waking up in the morning, putting some weed butter on some toast, walking the dogs. And then I just kind of like, I watch some stand-up, I write a couple jokes, I touch myself, walk the dogs again, you know.
So are you living off the government right now?
No, I don't do that. Even though, like, this is one of the first times in my life that I've been out of work for any length of time. Like, most of my life, I worked two full-time jobs at the same time. So, like, for me, this is, like, a 15-year built-up vacation.
But I'm going to start working again probably in the next week or two, which sucks.
It keeps me, like, as much as I hopefully, like, I don't obviously do this mm-hmm. for my profession.
Right.
Hopefully in the near future.
Right, right.
Not someday, in the near future. Hopefully I'll be able to just do this full time. That's the goal. But I like having somewhere to go. I like having a routine. My job is very easy that I do now. And, I like, for instance, I get to take my laundry to work and do it on Mondays. So it's,
that's not bad.
It's very nice. That's and the lady at work cooks me lunch. So it's not like a real, real job, even though I still like, it's just my second house basically that I go to and sit in front of a computer and sometimes scan a few documents and send them out.
See, with my personality, with my attitude, I don't do well in jobs. Like, I probably should have been, like, there's jobs I've had where I easily could have been promoted because of my knowledge of, you know, what had to be done. Like, because I've always, like, had knowledge in more than just my department. Like, even, you know, working restaurants, I could serve tables, bartend, cook, you know, like, pretty much I could manage if I needed to. Like, any place I've ever worked, I've learned enough about the company. But I'm just such a screw up. Like, I have so much fun cracking jokes and flirting with girls and looking at butts that I would be a horrible manager. Like, like I'm a pretty good
employee.
Seems
like that's what managers do, actually. That's pretty much what they do. They sit in the office, and I guess it depends what you're managing.
Yeah. Telemarketing rooms, I would be a great manager because it would just be nonstop sexual harassment. Restaurants, not so much because, you know, with no manager over me, as soon as a table started to complain about something stupid, I'd just be like, dude, seriously, suck it up. Like, you're lucky there's not pubic hair and semen in your food. go to McDonald's, shut the hell up, get out of my restaurant.
Is that your background? What's your background in?
Restaurants and telemarketing. All phone rooms in general.
Right.
Like, I'm that horrible person that calls you like, hey, I know you're eating dinner right now, but let me just tell you about this exciting opportunity. It's not going to cost you a dime. I know.
That's what my poor uncle is doing now. I feel so bad for him.
It was easier when I used to do it in like early 2000s, like 2001, 2002. And I used to make a killing because at that time, like,
everybody had money then. Everything was great.
Yeah, everybody had money. And like, there's only like, okay, some things that happen over the phone were scams. Some things, you know, because like the internet wasn't as, you couldn't do as much with the internet as you can now. So it was like, like people would be more receptive over the phone. But like now you call somebody and as you're like trying to tell them, they're like, you know what? I'm on Google right now and it says this about your company. And it says this about that. And it's just like, well, you know what? Just hang up then. Just effing hang up on me and let me get onto my next call or go to my break. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, man. That kind of changed the game, the internet. Comedian James Bailey sitting next to me right now. The internet kind of, you couldn't just go on Amazon. Like, now you can buy literally anything on Amazon. You can buy groceries now. You can buy paper towels. You don't even need to go to the grocery store anymore.
The internet's changed everything from movies to comedy to, you know, I mean, just everything. I don't even have cable right now. Everything I watch is either downloaded or streamed.
Same here. Yeah, totally.
Like it's definitely changed pornography for me.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I still have a magazine because I am of that generation.
Me too. I have it just for nostalgia.
Yeah, basically I keep it next to my Steve Baird shirt, rest in peace, because I think he would want to be, I think Steve Baird, if you don't know him, was a great local comic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a real legend. He shook Jay Leno's hand before Jay Leno was Jay. You know what I'm saying? When Jay Leno was still a road comic. Absolutely hysterical. Great friends with my dad. Great friend with me. When he passed, a lot of us took. He kind of had like this signature look. It was like short sleeve, flannel, button up shirts. Like, so a bunch of us comics are real good friends with him. We all have one. And I think Steve would just be honored that his shirt is hiding my porno mag. I think he would just be tickled to death, and he would be really happy with that. So that's what's happening in my drawer right now.
Find some solace in that. I actually found mine. I just moved in here a couple months ago now, and I didn't know I had it. I found it under a stack in my old closet, and I was like, I'm going to throw this away. And then I was like, nah, man, you never know when the internet connection is going to go out. But it is, frankly, it's disgusting. The women in there are not attractive, and I don't know what I'm doing holding on to it.
It's nostalgia. It's the same reason you hang on to that shirt that everybody signed from 7th grade at the end of the year. Like, you know, it doesn't fit you anymore. It'll never fit again. But your friends that you don't talk to anymore, they signed it. So, yeah, I'm going to hang on to that.
Yeah, I have the yearbooks, the middle school yearbooks. I pull them out every couple years and read what people wrote. Boy, you want to talk about some clever people.
I had my high school yearbooks up until a few, actually up until about 10 years ago. I lost them in a move. I've lost so much stuff. And like, I used to move every 3 to 6 months. I was pretty much just a nomad, just hopping around, doing drugs. It was fun, but it gets tiring.
Sure.
I had a bad back because of it.
Yeah, that'll happen, man. I'm noticing my knees are hurting now. I just turned 30 in November. Oof. My knees are starting to hurt. I don't know why. I mean, besides being fat, you know, definitely helps with your knees hurting.
Your mic is messing with me. I keep putting it up, and it just slowly falls.
I know.
And then I raise it up.
I don't know what the deal is with that. I got to find a way to fix that.
I would rest it on my face, but I don't know who all has...
A lot of people have spit all over that mic, yeah.
I'm sure.
I got to figure out some way how to fix that.
Put a paper clip. I'll just keep sinking. It's not just me, right? Like, I'm not just that high.
No, it's been doing it to everybody. Okay. Yeah.
I'll just keep playing with it and making extra noise for your podcast.
James, do you have do you have any shows coming up beside the Witches Brew?
Like I said, just Wicked Witches on the 21st. I'm at Dunedin Brewery every Monday for their open mic that starts at signups at 7:30. I'm gonna be at Sly Bar this Tuesday. I really do like that mic, so I'm gonna try to come there more. And then I don't know.
It's a hike for you though. You're up in like Palm Harbor, right?
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I mean, and Palm Harbor just kind of sucks in general. It's nice. Palm Harbor's nice.
Oh, it's so pretty.
But it's just neighborhoods. It's just a big neighborhood.
It's a very nice neighborhood though. A lot of very friendly white people because they all have money, so they have nothing to be upset about. I actually had like a 75-year-old white lady wave at me. I was walking two pit bulls. And a tank top. And I have a lot of tattoos.
Uh-huh.
Like, and so I'm wearing gym shorts, a tank top. I got tattoos on my calves, all up on my chest, my arms. And I got two big pit bulls on leashes.
Yeah.
And this little old white lady just drives by me, waving like we're best friends, smiling at the dogs.
That's
like,
awesome, man.
To me, that was the end of racism. Because 20 years ago, that shit wouldn't have went down like that. She would have pulled around the corner, seen me, hit the locks, turned around, and be like, I don't even want to go down this block. I'm just going to go over this way.
That's fantastic.
It was touching. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I ever see her again, I'm going to hug her, which hopefully she won't take the wrong way.
She'll just pull out a Glock and just shoot you, probably.
That's probably why she was so happy. She knew she was
armed and ready to go.
She could see that I wasn't carrying anything in my basketball shorts. She's like, I got this, dude. I got this brown guy.
I'm glad you mentioned the open mic because I forgot to do that as well. That's this Tuesday. What is that, the 12th?
Yes.
I think so. I hope so. But this Tuesday coming up, we got free pizza from Angelo's, so you can have some dinner.
That's the reason I'm coming.
That's right. There's a $50 prize, the best comic of the night, that goes by audience participation. So bring some buddies and have some fun.
I might just do all traditional material, because every time I come there and I do new material, I never win that.
Well, you know what it is, man? The guy who won last time brought 12 people, and he ended up winning.
I don't bring anybody.
That's the thing. And he was kind of new, and he was actually pretty good, though. I got to give it to him.
But, I use all my open mic, like inviting people to open mics when I first started. Like, that's a mistake. Any young comics out there, whatever you do, do not invite your friends when you first start, because they'll all come when you first start and you suck ass and they never
come again.
Yeah. So yeah, don't invite anybody until you, like, don't even tell people you're doing comedy for like 6-8 months.
I disagree with James. Tell everybody to come to Sly Bar, do comedy. You might be good at it, you might be terrible at it, who knows.
Just don't tell your friends till you're good. Come out and do comedy. Give it a try.
Definitely don't listen to James Bailey. Bring your friends. It's only going to help you, man, because I need people to watch, you know, so it's good. So bring your buddies.
I'll watch. James, I'm always
Bailey.
Watching.
James Bailey, quickly give out your social media and Facebook and all that.
James Bailey, Facebook is Comedian James Bailey. My Twitter is James Bailey, ha ha. And my YouTube is James Bailey Comedy, all one word.
Very good. I'll have that all up on the YouTube link. Yeah. James Bailey, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right. You got Facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast. Follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. James Bailey, I'm sure, will be back at some point in the near future. Coming up, we got Scott Harrell, creative loafing writer, wrote a great article about St. Pete last week. Miss St. Pete Ariel Stevenson is coming in as well, so a couple of good shows coming
up. Why couldn't you invite me on that show?
I know.
Bastard.
You can come back if you want.
I just might do that.
All right, y'all. Take it easy. See you later.